Welcome to our Worldwide Network for Success, WWYNS, your dedicated business radio station. The mission of our station is to help you learn how successful managers and business owners direct their businesses, capitalize on opportunities, and overcome adversity. Our objective is to help you understand and apply their insights, then use your expertise in your own business or job so that you can become more successful. And now, here is your host, Joe Camara.
Whether you're a professional, a business owner, or high-level manager, our goal with each program is to provide you with at least one actionable idea you can implement immediately to build your success in business. Today, our focus is on streamlining your business. And oddly enough, we don't have a guest. I'm going to be the presenter today, and we're going to be focusing on ways to help you make more money in your business, be more profitable, and possibly improve the productivity of your business at the same time. Why would we want to focus on this? Well, as you all know, I'm sure the idea of a penny saved is a penny earned. For every dollar you spend in your business, if you could save a penny, that'd be a 1% savings. So that's something that every business should be focusing on continuously. One of the things that we would recommend is that it's not just the responsibility of one person, however, and I'm sure most of you are thinking about or have heard the topic of re-engineering. Since your competitors are going to be focusing on this over the next few years simply because it's good business practice, it's something you ought to be thinking about. So if you're going to be re-engineering, you probably need to think about who you should put in charge of your cost-cutting activities. Now, we don't think it should be any one particular person. We think you ought to involve all of your people. And so if you're talking with your marketing manager, your human resource manager, somebody who's in charge of your computer activities or your operations, they definitely all need to be involved. However, there probably ought to be a manager or a vice president or someone who's your cost reduction specialist and who's in charge of this task at your business. In particular, not just as an individual, but getting everyone in your business to be more sensitive to the idea that costs need to be reduced and can be reduced, especially in today's environment with low inflation and with almost every business person expecting some sort of change in their relationship to their suppliers. So every supplier is sensitive to this, and they're looking for ways to help you cut your costs as well. So what should you do first? Well, we think you should set some sort of a clear goal for your company, whether it's a 1% or 5% reduction. That's pretty easy to communicate. Everybody in your business can understand what a small reduction in their expenses might mean. And the challenge is not just to set that goal of 5%, but we suggest strongly that the reduction come without any change in quality or customer service. That's a really very important thing. It's easy to cut costs and reduce the quality of something, but it's not so easy to reduce costs and maintain or improve the quality of something. And so this is going to be a real challenge, and just one person probably cannot achieve this by him or herself. So the setting of the goal is the most important in helping people understand. So the next step after setting the goal and clarifying it is to hold a meeting department by department. Now, if that requires you to get involved as a business owner or to assign a manager who's going to be in charge of this, prepare for these meetings, then you obviously want to share this goal with whoever attends these meetings by department and determine what their reaction is. Now, some of you, of course, will believe it's not possible. However, one of the key ideas of this re-engineering movement is that there are some activities that do not add value. For instance, if you do data entry and you have to enter the same name twice into a database or into any part of your computer activities, that is not adding value. In fact, it's subtracting value. So one of the easy things would be to find a way, find a system, find a mechanism so that the data needs to be only entered once. Now you've saved time and probably saved at least a few seconds of someone's typing time, added up over the number of entries that need to be made per year, 500 or 1,000, whatever it happens to be. You've probably saved a considerable amount of time and effort, and you should be able to document that. So using examples like that will help people get sensitized to how to achieve this goal without necessarily reducing the value that the business is providing to its customers. Once you've had some discussion about this and got some reasonable suggestions, you're going to need to determine how to proceed. So one of the best things you can do is start to get people involved in generating ideas and helping them to help you prioritize what the next steps might be. So for instance, if you're going to focus on data entry, this example of duplicating entries may not be your highest priority. There may be something that, for instance, delay time in waiting for your computer to process something. If it takes 30 seconds to process something, whereas it only takes 15 or 10 seconds to add another name, then the highest priority would be the thing that will give you the greatest savings. So once you've got some great suggestions, and you and your team will know what the best suggestions are, you can prioritize them. One of the best approaches to thinking about this is to focus on what might be called the Pareto principle or the 80-20 rule. What 20% of changes could produce the greatest 80% of improvements? And if you use that rule of thumb, that will help you set your priorities. So asking questions, talking with your team, and going through department by department, identifying your highest priorities, that'll help you get started. One of the key questions that you're going to need to be concerned about is, will the payoff exceed the investment in time and effort? Well, again, that's a question that merits discussion. If a person is in charge of making these changes, then that person can help deal with the suggestion and make some decisions about that. They can bring you the top 5 or 10 if you're not going to be involved in every meeting directly, and you can make decisions about what the payoff and return will be. One of our customers uses this as a formal suggestion procedure. They look for the suggestion. They also look to help the employee tell them what they think the benefits are going to be, and have the employees guesstimate or get an idea of what the return on investment will be based on the suggestion. If it's a small return on investment and it can be something handled by an individual, this company simply may assign that individual to take care of it. If it's something that involves a major change or major investment, then maybe a committee is going to be developed to study it. The key question is, who's going to lead it? If the employee who recommended it has a good understanding and has potential leadership skills, this may be something you want to foster in that individual, and so you may give them a responsibility. They may need some training or some assistance or some help, but as long as they're learning how to manage a project like this, that's a valuable asset for you and your company. So one of the things you want to do is make sure they are in charge of the effort if it makes sense. Eventually, we believe that you should be building this sort of responsibility into the job description of every individual in your company, and so that everybody's got responsibility for some sort of a cost-saving activity without harming your productivity or your quality. So why should an employee want to get involved in this process? Well, not only is it good for the company, and that should be self-evident, but people have a natural tendency to want to participate, as you probably are aware. These days, especially with our highly educated people, most people are critical of the way their bosses run the business. Well, here's an opportunity to give somebody two chances. One, get a good positive result based on the kind of observations that they have about their business, and two, develop these skills not only for the short term but for the long term. Another thing we think you ought to be thinking about building in is some sort of extra incentive base, some sort of reward program. Many different kinds of rewards, whether it's a profit-sharing program or a gain-sharing program, or just simply a monetary reward for a good suggestion or a prize of some sort, an inexpensive electronic gadget, which is a very good prize that many employees would like to have. All of these are possibilities. And especially if the return on investment is good, let's say that it costs $500 to make a change, and the payoff is going to be a $5,000 payoff, you should easily be able to afford a cost of a VCR or some other gadget, disc player, that would reward the employee for making such a good suggestion. Anytime you can get a 10-to-1 return, I'm sure most company executives would be very pleased to have that happen, especially if you can make it happen over and over again. No matter what the size of your business, as long as your return on investment is good, then you ought to be thinking about some sort of reward system. Well, as you know, this is Joe Camiro, President of Consulting Task Force, and we're focusing on streamlining your business, and we're going to be back right after these messages.
Remember, you have an opportunity to listen to this program via podcast by signing into our website and signing up as a member of YNS. This free sign-in provides you with many benefits. Just visit www.networkforsuccess.com for more detail. That's network4success.com. If you have a successful business and would like to participate in a future program, call 575-RESULT-6 at any time, day or night. That is 575-RESULT-6.
YNS is a full-service integrated marketing services firm. We develop and deliver a sophisticated, custom-made system called Integrated Marketing Square. The Square designation results from the marriage between a highly successful legacy system and the digital world's many free marketing tools. This marriage produces exponential results for our customers. YNS helps our customers get the IMS Squared benefits and the most valuable marketing system they will ever use. The goals of your network for success are to, 1, provide you with up to a 10-to-1 return on your marketing investments, 2, enable you to achieve better marketing results and sales results for less, 3, get the IMS Squared benefits, and 4, the bottom line is to help your customers build their business. To talk to us personally, call 575-RESULT-6. That's 575-RESULT-6, or in numbers, 575-737-8586, 575-737-8586, or visit us on the web at www.network4success.com.
Joe Camara, President of Consulting Task Force, and today our topic is streamlining your business. Did you know there are more than 100 events each year that focus on the guests and topics discussed on your network for success? If you're interested in attending one of these, call Consulting Task Force 24 hours a day at 634-7013 for more information. That's 634-7013. And for those of you that might be interested, we're going to be having an executive briefing this Friday morning at 8 o'clock at the Country Kitchen. If you'd like to join us, please call us for a reservation at 634-7013. Obviously, our topic is going to be streamlining your business. Now, we're going to have a couple of other guests there as well, in addition to me, but they're only going to talk very briefly, and so we didn't feel a need to have them on the radio today. Okay, what are we going to do as far as this general approach goes? Well, we'd suggest you make a decision that you're going to make a commitment to streamlining the expenses in your business, maybe other aspects of your business as well. So this needs to be determined by you or your top manager, and you must decide that from this day forward, you are going to model the behavior of cost cutting. So if you have some personal extravagances, you might need to modify those. But nevertheless, one of the key aspects of your business is how can we reduce costs without necessarily harming the quality or the customer service delivery that we provide to our customers. Then you need to have a plan. Develop an easy plan. First step we suggested, set a goal. Pick the goal you like and communicate it effectively to everyone in your business. Focus on the nature of the process as well as the starting. If this is going to be a continuous improvement program, this is not going to end in a month or 2 months or 6 months or a year from now. This is going to be something that continues. So start with the easy things first. There's no sense in getting involved in major activities that are going to create major upheaval in your business. Find the high return, high priority payoff activities that will give you a good return on investment for the time and effort invested, and make sure you do those first. If education and training is necessary, take that as a good step. Obviously, one of the things we look for is that will the training pay for itself? If the training is focused specifically on cost reduction, you ought to be able to measure the difference between what your costs are today versus what your costs are after this training program goes on. And so it's a very good way to invest your money, especially if your return on investment is going to be high. So make sure that your team gets skills, whoever your team is going to be, whether it's department by department or whatever. Make sure that individuals are getting trained in leading small groups, using this 80-20 rule, identifying high-priority, high-payoff items. Help people learn how to evaluate economically the benefits of something. You can do that internally, or you can hire someone from the outside to do it. One of the things you want to build in is some sort of recording and tracking mechanism. Obviously, asserting that changes are going to happen and asserting that savings are going to be made is not good enough. What you need to be able to do is document that within your company, especially if you're going to reward people for achieving some sort of success. And they will want to know, the people who are involved in this will want to know, that you have in fact decreased your costs and you have not negatively harmed the quality or the customer service that you're delivering. In fact, you may find ways to improve it. And so if you can track this on a regular basis, that's something you definitely want to do. Reporting is something also that you want to build in to the process, and you want to recognize people if you possibly can. Once you've tracked and reached a particular goal for some activity, you want to make sure that people get rewarded publicly or acknowledged at the very least publicly. So start, get your plan in place, and then start acting. Form your first team. Doesn't have to be everybody in the company. Just get a small group of people together who might be working on a particular area that you think merits the most attention, and make them your first team. Ask them a lot of questions. Listen to what they have to say. Help them analyze. Help them learn what you're looking for. And then empower them, whether broadly or narrowly, is your choice, but empower them to some degree to come up with recommendations, suggestions, and the responsibility to implement once you've decided that that's a direction you want to take. And make it happen. If it works well, make sure you continue it. If there are problems, and you probably will need to anticipate problems, you want to make sure that people understand that there's a mechanism for resolving issues or conflict or whatever it happens to be. We know whenever there's change, there are some people who are resistant to change. And so by anticipating that in advance, you'll be able to prepare yourself and your team for dealing with it in a positive manner, not necessarily in a negative manner. If you need to get people who are critical of something more involved, have them examine the alternatives. Have them help you generate ideas that will fit more with their way of thinking. See if it makes an improved suggestion. If it does not, obviously you have the opportunity to reject it. If it does, you may be the better for it. Starting doesn't simply require starting immediately with a full-scale program. You may simply start with a tester or a trial period. As those trials and tests prove successful, then you may want to make them more routine and more institutionalized. So if you need to start in a department with a different way to order supplies or a different way to track and enter data, whatever it happens to be, whether it's freight or postage or employee benefits or purchasing activities, no matter insurance, no matter what it happens to be, make a short-term test to see what the impact is going to be. And as you're tracking your results, you'll be able to help people understand what the value of that is, both to the company and to the individuals who are involved in developing that decision. As your tests prove successful and you're measuring the results, you want to feedback the results to your people who are involved. We like continuous reporting as well as continuous improvement. So one of the best things to do is on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, whatever is most appropriate for whatever changes you're making, you want to be able to simply report the difference between what was happened before and what is happening now. Certainly there will be fluctuations. Nothing improves all the time, every time. But as long as you're seeing a trend of improvement, that's the most important thing. And whatever period that you've chosen to finalize the trial and evaluation, as you're achieving your results, then at the end of that period you should begin to be recognizing the people who caused the change. Let's think a minute about where you might look for some of these savings. Again, it obviously will depend on your priorities. Your situation may be different. Some of these things may not be true in your company, but here are things you could be thinking about. Do you have a delivery service? Is it as cost-effective a delivery service as you'd like to have, or are you using one delivery service for everything? Maybe there are levels of delivery, some things that are absolutely important that need to be there overnight, and things that are not. We often receive overnight mail from companies that, for whatever reason, chose to invest $10, $15, $20 in getting the material to us that could have waited another day or two. Even if they'd only saved half of that, there would have been value. So your overnight services, is that something to look at? How about consolidating shipments? Is there a way to consolidate shipments or to use a carrier that is using their delivery system to the fullest? That means in both directions, or are they deadheading it back in some way? Can you reorganize the way you ship things? How about improving your bid process? Are you bidding things, or are you just buying things out of habit? Any of those is possible. What about scheduling things? Are you scheduling things in some effective way? We have a relationship with a consultant who focuses on deliveries and scheduling deliveries to take the least amount of time and drive the shortest distance. This requires a computer, of course, and some small investment. But generally and typically he travels all over the country, and typically he finds that he can save someone 25% to 35% in their delivery costs. If you're not using an automated system of this sort, maybe you should be thinking about it. If you don't have a big enough fleet, that doesn't mean you can't use the idea. You just may not need to invest in the equipment. There may be ways to examine the delivery routes you're using. How about truck capacity? Are you using the best kinds of trucking? Who knows? Just general questions. What about purchasing things in general? Are you using some sort of automated form? As you may know, the government is moving toward electronic data interchange, and if you're going to be doing business with the government, you may need to automate. You may need to find ways that you can order things automatically without necessarily having to talk to an individual, simply sending a purchase order over the air. The electronic waves through the phone lines and things might be a really valuable thing for you to do. We're going to take a short break. We're going to talk more about some alternatives and summarize in a minute. We'll be back shortly.
Remember, you have an opportunity to listen to this program via podcast by signing into our website and signing up as a member of YNS. This free sign-in provides you with many benefits. Just visit www.networkforsuccess.com for more detail. That's network4success.com. If you have a successful business and would like to participate in a future program, call 575-RESULT-6 at any time, day or night. That is 575-RESULT-6.
YNS is a full-service integrated marketing services firm. We develop and deliver a sophisticated, custom-made system called Integrated Marketing Square. The Square designation results from the marriage between a highly successful legacy system and the digital world's many free marketing tools. This marriage produces exponential results for our customers. YNS helps our customers get the IMS Squared benefits and the most valuable marketing system they will ever use. The goals of your network for success are to, 1, provide you with up to a 10-to-1 return on your marketing investments, 2, enable you to achieve better marketing results and sales results for less, 3, get the IMS Squared benefits, and 4, the bottom line is to help your customers build their business. To talk to us personally, call 575-RESULT-6. That's 575-RESULT-6, or in numbers, 575-737-8586, 575-737-8586, or visit us on the web at www.network4success.com.
You're listening to Joe Camiro, President of Consulting Task Force, and today our topic is streamlining your business. And if you'd like a cassette copy of today's program, they're available to any interested listener free of charge. Simply call Consulting Task Force at 634-7013 and specify the topic and date of the program. That's 634-7013. Well, what are some other examples? Certainly we all have heard about compensation programs and employee benefit programs that are very costly. Making a thorough study of any or all of these high-cost areas is something that you should be thinking about. Now, obviously, here's an area of risk. This has to do with employee benefits. So if employees are not involved in this process, you may create more problems than you benefits than you produce. So this is an area where involving employees probably is the most crucial and can have both short-term and long-term payoff in the positive way rather than the negative. We've alluded to new technology. Certainly computers is one of the areas that may help you save money, but there are many others. We know, for instance, that there is a furnace that burns waste motor oil. If you have high heating costs and you want to look at alternative ways, environmentally safe ways, by the way, that are something that you might want to consider as an alternative. If you have a big operation, you may find ways to use waste motor oil more effectively. Now, obviously, that's one specific example. It does involve some investment, but if you're an environmentally green company, this may be something like this may be an area that you want to spend and focus your attention on. We haven't talked too much about advertising and marketing expenses, but we believe automation here also can be an advantage in terms of Salesforce automation, save money on having people call in for messages, maybe reduce the number of people that have to invest their time and effort to handle these calls by hooking your salesman up with a laptop to a database of some sort. They can call in directly, dial up on the database, get the information they need without necessarily having to talk to a person. And you may be able to do it in off hours if this is an idea that appeals to you. Obviously, there are a lot of people in the computer business that might be able to help you accomplish such a goal. So
There are many ways to save money and streamline your expenses, and what we simply want to do now is summarize the process. The process involves making a commitment, deciding to do this, creating a short-term plan and possibly a long-term plan, starting to act, implement, do something. If you need to train and educate your people, so be it. If you don't, and you may not need to, you may simply get started. Especially if you start with the easy things first, you may not need to involve anyone in training. Obviously, you want to record and verify whatever changes there are and report back to the people who are most involved in it. And after your test period, if you find that things are going well, you may want to institutionalize those changes, make sure that they continue and don't get lost over time and activity of your business. And finally, you want to reinforce or reward the people who are involved in making the change. If you want to reward economically, that's in terms of dollars, that's one approach. Other approaches are simply to provide prizes and gifts and or recognition or some combination of all of these. Obviously, if you use the KISS principle, keep it simple and straightforward. The more you keep it simple and easy for people to understand what the goal is, a 1-5% reduction in expenses, maintaining quality and improving or maintaining customer service, that's the goal. You need to determine who's going to be responsible, whether it's an individual or a team. We recommend a team simply because the more people involved, the better, the greater the expectation that something should happen, and it's your responsibility to make sure when it does happen. Set your target date for a completion date. Try to get an estimate of the cost and the return on investment, and you should be well on your way to streamlining your business. As we mentioned, if you have an interest in this topic and would like to attend our executive briefing, feel free to call me at Consulting Task Force, 634-7013. My extension is 101 if you want to leave me a message directly. We'd like to thank you for joining us. For those of you dedicated to building your financial and business success, Consulting Task Force and its sponsors provide cassette tapes and personal contact events, all focused on the guests and topics on your network for success. Our listeners can tell you that not taking advantage of these opportunities is probably costing you money. To learn more, call Consulting Task Force 24 hours a day at 634-7013. That's 634-7013.
Remember, you have an opportunity to listen to this program via podcast by signing into our website and signing up as a member of YNS. This free sign-in provides you with many benefits. Just visit www.networkforsuccess.com for more detail. That's network, the number 4, success.com. If you have a successful business and would like to participate in a future program, call 575-RESULT-6 at any time, day or night. That is 575-RESULT-6. Our program, The Leading Edge of Supply Chain Management, was brought to you by Supply Chain Optimizers. SCO is a logistics company known for providing personalized, end-to-end cost-saving tools and techniques focused on improving the hundreds of opportunities firms have hidden within their supply chain activities. If you want to download 15-minute segment podcasts of this program, simply go to www.networkforsuccess.com. That's network, the number 4, success.com. This program was produced and directed by Your Network for Success and is copyrighted as of March 11th, 2013.